I don't know if you have ever planned a cruise vacation or been researching cruises all on your own, but there's a lot of information to research before you book a cruise. And so Coco and I recently just went on a family cruise in January of 2024 on Royal Caribbean, and we had some lessons learned. Coco was able to take those and apply them as she was looking to book a trip later in 2024. And so today we want to break down for you what she learned in that process, what we knew about the ship, maybe what we would have researched beforehand, and if that would have changed our decision-making at all, so that we can equip you with the information so that you know and can book with confidence that you're picking the right ship and the right itinerary for your family. Hey there. Welcome to the Loco Travel Life Podcast, where we, two moms and sisters, share our experiences of traveling with our kiddos. I'm Lindsay, or as my nephews call me, Lolo.
And I'm Carly, aka Auntie Coco, and we're your hosts. I think the first thing I would definitely say to someone is to make sure that you are staying in your budget. Don't even really look at the things that you can't afford, because it's just going to disappoint you, and it's not necessary because there are options in your budget.
Coco and I are all about traveling on a budget, having a budget, and knowing how much we're spending. If that's something that's new to you, I'd highly recommend you check out podcast episode number 11, where we break down travel budgeting. It's a great episode to really encourage you to set a budget and stick to that budget when you're traveling.
Definitely.
Okay, so now that we've set the stage with the budget, a fellow mama comes to you. She knows that here's my budget. I'm looking at a cruise. What do you suggest she looks at and researches?
So a couple things. First, know the ages of your children and the requirements for the ships that are out there and available to you. If you want to go on a cruise and you have a 7-month-old, you probably don't have to do a whole lot of research, because you know that they're not going to make a lot of the age requirements, or, you know, they're not going to be going on the grandiose rides. Like, they're not on the big things. But let's say you have a 3-year-old, like I've experienced, or a 2-year-old, they're kind of on the buffer of things to be able to do and experience on a cruise. So kind of tailoring which ship you choose based on what you want to experience as a family.
Yeah, that's so important, because looking back when we booked our cruise for 2024, I did not do any research on the ship before we booked, other than look up the year that it was built, just so that I knew Royal Caribbean and their class of ship that it was. When I looked at the ship and the itinerary, all I was focused on was the ports of call. So I didn't even consider the ages of our kiddos and what activities they were going to be doing. So why was that important, and like what happened on our trip?
Sure, I would say that's important because you want to make sure that there's stuff for the kids to do on the sea days. Royal Caribbean does have everything on their website. You can see the height and the age restrictions prior to going, but you have to look up each and every one of those individually. And it can be cumbersome and time consuming. And there's mixed reviews out there on all the Facebook groups, like this person was able to do this, this, and this, but they're pretty cut and dry with their expectations. And like, we saw some kiddos that were in line for bumper cars, and they kept saying, make sure your child is 5, because they won't be able to ride the bumper cars. And they had to get out of line. Some of the kids were kicking and screaming because the parents tried to essentially like mess with the system, but they scan your CPass card, so your age is brought up right then and there, and they give you a wristband that says you're age appropriate to ride. Another thing is looking at the splash zone. They vary in size and differences on each ship. There's some things that are the same, which is nice, but in the different classes of ships, they can be bigger, or they can have features that are a little bit more exciting to the different age groups of children. My children loved going in the hot tubs, and I'm finding that some of the classes of Royal Caribbean ships have hot tubs right in Splashaway Bay, and it's super cool. Then it's more kid oriented and super fun. And then we can watch them and be a little bit like in the same area without having to go here, there, and everywhere. So that is a feature that I like. And then I think really one of the big reasons to like look at those things is if you have kids in different age brackets, how are you going to communicate and talk to those ones that don't meet the cutoffs? Like, how do you handle them being disappointed, and what are you going to do to combat that a little bit? And one of the ways that we did that was we traveled as a big family. So some of the family members would take the younger ones and do something fun with them, or we would utilize Adventure Ocean as best as possible for those certain experiences so that we could do them together as a family with the bigger kids. And then the littler kids were still entertained and having fun on this ship too.
That's great advice, because it wasn't really something I thought about. And I felt really sad like a week or two before the trip when I was really starting to grasp that, oh, Kai and McCoy aren't going to be able to do the bumper cars. They're not going to be able to do laser tag. And so that was really sad as a mom and an aunt to not have them be able to do those experiences. But also I'm really glad that Coco, you researched it. So I was prepared in advance. So we had a plan. I took Kai and McCoy and we went and we played Connect Four and we went and explored the ship. So we were still able to do fun things with them while Monroe was doing other things. But that's really hard as a parent to balance that. So just being aware and cognizant of that is really important.
Yeah, I think it would have been really hard to learn those things in the moment on the cruise ship while being there. I'm so thankful that we did know those things in advance. And that is what I'm trying to kind of like convey to all you mamas out there, is it's just better to know beforehand, because then you can manage those expectations and make a plan. And everybody on the trip then is enjoying it to its fullest extent.
Yeah, that's really great advice. So your first takeaway is to really know the ages and height restrictions of the various activities on the ship, and just making sure you're aware of what that particular ship offers.
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay. So next after, we're level setting with budget is very, very first.
Yes.
Then height and age restrictions. So then what's next?
Number two, I would definitely say is ports of call. Ports of call matters as long as you're trying to stay in budget and knowing what you want to experience when you go to a port of call too. Trying to pick ports of call that are easy and not going to cost me extra is definitely a highlight and a thing that I'm trying to do when I'm booking a cruise. In my opinion, I think it is amazing to be able to get off at a private island and just walk to the beach with your children and not have to take transportation. You're not trying to figure out, is this safe? Is this something else I can do? Again, though, with ports of call, you're going to find lots of age restrictions and lots of height restrictions in anything like shore excursion that you want to experience. I researched them. You know, Monroe's at that age where it's kind of fun to take him on a roller coaster or something else, but I can't do it with just one. And then a lot of the times, even though Monroe was six and a little bit older, he didn't even meet the requirements for a lot of those things. And it was okay. Like, I didn't have to do those things because it was beautiful to go to a beach. And I don't know if you all know this, but a lot of the like islands that Royal Caribbean is working on, they have Coco Cay that's really well known as their like perfect day. They have splash pads and slides and basically anything and everything, multiple beaches. It's amazing.
And it's all included. There's no additional cost for a lot of those things, like your chairs, your towels, your food. It's all included, and that's amazing.
It is. And as a mom, knowing that we just have to walk a short distance on the pier to get to the beach is phenomenal. And then the same is true in Labadee, which is where we also went. It was beautiful.
If you've never booked a cruise before, it's really important to know that, yes, the cruise itself is all inclusive with just your basic beverages like water, iced tea, lemonade, and food. But additional things cost money. Alcoholic beverages cost money. If you want to get a virgin strawberry daiquiri for your kiddos, that costs additional money. And so when we cruise, we like to be very budget conscious. And so when you go out to a destination, so your port of call is Jamaica, if you get off the ship and you go on an excursion, that excursion costs additional money. With our 2024 cruise, we picked it specifically because it stopped at two private islands. We docked right there, so there was no tendering. We didn't have to do any of that, and we could just get off the ship, and everything was included. Those days didn't cost us any additional money.
It's also nice, too, that, like, that reassurance that the ship is right there. And if your kid is having a hard day or something's just not going right and the beach isn't as they expected, you know, you never really know what's going to happen on vacation with a kiddo. You can go back to your room. You can go back on the ship to the known things so that you can avoid a meltdown or you could take a nap. You can do those things. And it's not that hard to then even try again coming back out. It's kind of, it's a luxury, I would definitely say. And it's a highlight for me of which ports of call we choose. And then sometimes when you choose a port of call that you're not like super thrilled with, experiencing the ship with a lot less people is pretty fun. And we took full advantage of that in the Jamaica port that we visited. And I look at that when I'm booking like my next cruise or any cruises in general, if I'm referring a friend to like try this out, you know, I will say this one's probably going to be an expensive one. Like you could choose to just stay on the ship and it's pretty great.
Yes, because there's so many less people when you're at a port of call and it's no additional expense. It's a win, in our opinion. And I think it's also important to remember that this is our current phase of life. That just having an easy port of call where we don't have to worry about transportation, we don't have to worry about car seats, that's the current season that we're in. I'm sure maybe in 10 years when we cruise, when our children are older, we're probably going to go on excursions because we can take Ubers, we can take Lyfts, and it's not going to cost us an arm and a leg. But right now we're in a season where we're really trying to be very conscious of our budget and not spending extra money because it's expensive to transport our children to things that they might not even be able to do when they get there.
Right, and the things might not yet be age appropriate. Doesn't mean we'll go back and we wouldn't experience it different the next time.
Okay, we've got budget, height restrictions and age, ports of call. Anything else?
I would definitely say making sure transportation to the cruise terminal, like where your ship is leaving from, and making sure like you can get either a flight there easily, accommodations, like how are you going to get from the airport to the cruise terminal, those sorts of things, because each port isn't created equal in distance to and from an airport. You know, you could be in Port Canaveral, which is near Orlando, but you might have to travel a little bit more. Your shuttle ride is going to be longer. Just making sure to research how are you going to get to and from. Just knowing that in advance.
That's a huge point. And a big thing that I looked at when I was looking at the cruises for our timing were airports and where we were flying into. There was a cruise out of Galveston that mom had sent me that she was interested in. But then I looked up how far the Galveston port was from the airport. And I was like, we can't do that with all of our kiddos because we weren't looking to bring car seats with us. The cost of the transportation. Maybe a cruise in one port is more expensive, but maybe it's cheaper for you to fly there. So being cognizant of that.
And then I think to wrap it up, I would say just enjoy the trip. You've planned it. You've done all the research. You've made sure it's going to be what you'd like it to be. but roll with the punches. Not everything is perfect. It doesn't go as planned. No trip ever does, really. If you're going in with realistic expectations and the mindset that this cruise is going to be the best for my family in this season is helpful, because you might not get to every single thing you planned or every single thing that's on the ship, because realistically speaking, there's lots to do. There's lots of things, but you just might not get it all done. And that's okay, because what you did get done was phenomenal and you experienced something that was great.
Well, thanks so much, Coco, for sharing your wisdom and advice from all of your research and planning of cruises. And if you found this episode helpful and you have a friend or you know someone that's planning or thinking about going on a cruise, we would love it if you shared this episode with them.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Loco Travel Life podcast. Until next time, Loco Travel Lifers, get out there, face the loco, and enjoy your next adventure. You've got this.